The ability to cope in a healthy way. From the late 1970s through the early 90s, I worked in a series of scientific and technical environments during three distinct periods of crisis: the energy crisis of the 1970s, the atomic weapons crisis of the Cold War era, and the data compatibility crisis between computer platforms during the late 1980s and early 1990s. It was during this part of my life that I had the opportunity to witness firsthand how individuals and groups respond to stress created by the responsibility of their jobs. From the fuel systems for NASA's space shuttle program to the ability of military medical teams in the field to communicate with floating hospital ships hundreds of miles away, in each situation I was involved with, people's lives depended upon the products and services that the companies I represented provided. In each situation and each industry, time and again, I heard my fellow workers say that they had problems coping with the stress of the demands that were being placed upon them. Clearly, beyond the development of the services that we were contracted to deliver, stress was the greatest challenge that each of us faced each and every day of our lives. On the projects that I supervised, a big part of my responsibility was finding ways to keep my teams healthy and together long enough to complete our assignments. The word that my teams used to describe their experience was overwhelmed. They felt overwhelmed by the magnitude of the project, overwhelmed by how much needed to be done, and overwhelmed by their own doubts regarding their abilities to deliver. We've all felt similarly overwhelmed at some point in our lives, and I don't want to create the impression that there's anything wrong with the feeling itself. If we can accept that our sense of being overwhelmed by anything in life is an indicator of something that needs our attention, then the experience itself can be viewed as a positive one that leads to a healthy outcome. Without such a perspective, however, the people on my teams were responding to their experience in ways that were not only unhealthy, but their responses were actually preventing them from doing their jobs. I began to notice team members taking more sick days, for example, feeling depressed during the time that they were in the office, and developing habits of distraction, such as compulsive eating and the increased use of tobacco. Not surprisingly, these are among the indicators of unhealthy coping responses described by organizations such as the Mayo Clinic and the National Institutes of Health and others in their research regarding stress management. The following is a composite list of unhealthy coping skills adapted from a cross-section of stress response studies. The symptoms themselves are self-explanatory, and while we've all probably experienced each of these symptoms individually in the past with no problem, it's when multiple symptoms become chronic in our lives that they're probably telling us our stress has become a concern. A partial list of unhealthy coping skills includes problems getting to sleep, staying asleep, and sleeping at the right time of day or night, pain, headaches, and the unconscious clenching of fists, the biting of lips, or tightness in the neck and shoulders. Turning to food when we're not hungry, or eating beyond fullness when we are hungry. Feeling depressed, lethargic, and emotionally numb. Crying uncontrollably at unexpected times and doing so for no apparent reason. Inordinate responses of anger and negativity. Using alcohol, smoking, and substance abuse just to calm down. One of the keys to the success of the team members I worked with was to shift their perspective regarding the project itself and their role in it. They found that by breaking the big picture of their responsibility down into smaller and more manageable pieces, and by doing their homework and preparing everything they needed to accomplish each of these pieces in advance, they could focus on each job that landed on their desk with much less stress. Not surprisingly, the steps I'm describing are also among the healthy coping mechanisms identified by organizations such as the ones mentioned previously. The following is a representative list of healthy coping skills. Greater detail describing how to implement these skills in your life is available at the websites such as the Mayo Clinic, National Institutes of Health, the Institute of HeartMath, and others. I'll include a list of this kind of resource at the end of this audiobook for easy reference.